This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Oscar Robertson joins us on Sports Byline USA, Hall of Fame basketball player, 14 seasons in professional basketball, 10 with Cincinnati, 4 with Milwaukee, and 7th on the all-time scoring list. But I'll tell you what, this man could play the game, and he played it with great consistency. He averaged a triple-double for the 61-62 season. Oscar, nice to have you back here on Sports Byline, and I understand you were honored in New York. Tell everybody what that's about.
Well, I've been involved with the Boys and Girls Club of New York since 1979, and I received a Northrop Award, which was a very prestigious award, which has only been won by three other recipients, Jim McKay, John Madden, and Lance Armstrong, and I was the fourth.
When you look at kids today and they take a look at an Oscar Robertson or they take a look at a John Madden or a Lance Armstrong, what do you think they see in athletes today?
I'm not very sure because I don't think they know the history of very much of athletics other than their own little small world. I don't think people in sports, baseball, hockey, basketball, or football really go back and see the history about how the sport got started and who were the real people involved in getting it started.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I've had other players, Hank Aaron and I were chatting about that one time, and he says it's just a shame that people don't understand what Hank Aaron and what Jackie Robinson and what people like yourself have done for the development of the game. Is that something that really bothers the older player, the veteran player that did so much so many years ago?
Well, I don't know if it doesn't bother me, but I think that basketball, football, baseball, all the sports should be like any organization that you get involved with. You should have to learn the history of it before you can play.
I know
that could be a legal issue, but yet so you go to an organization like IBM and you get involved with these companies and whatnot. They want you to read up on the company about what you want to do, how you're going to do it, who your customers are. Basketball should be the same way.
Do you think, Oscar, if you had been playing basketball today, that you'd go the full 4 years, or do you think you might come out early?
It all depends on the money, but I say when I went to school University of Cincinnati, I was very proud of my degree. Because I wanted to do that. My parents preached that to me since I was old enough to understand what it was all about. The people at high school, where I went to high school in Christmas Attucks in Indianapolis, Indiana, preached education to me as well. And I felt that was the way for me to get out of a dismal situation I was in. Then I discovered sports.
And also, when you take a look at the time that you played basketball, professional sports and professional basketball didn't have the high profile. Most people thought of it as a little bit of an afterthought rather than a primary profession, didn't they?
Well, that's true because for a long time, you know, Globetrotters were the big draw around the country, around the world, really. And, you know, the Globetrotters were clowns of basketball, and this is probably what people thought about it.
Let me share with you an observation that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a fellow Hall of Famer, made. We were talking about players leaving early. He thinks it hurts the game, and this is how he put it.
Best college talent leaves college to go to the pros and get the money. Consequently, they don't learn what they would have learned in college and don't develop the discipline of work habits and the maturity that's necessary to be a good pro player. You have to have all of those things. That time spent in college is not wasted for a professional basketball player. But they have to skip that. They must have the money right now. So they go and get the money, and then the professional game is suffering because you have untutored players coming into the league, and there's not much that they can do. They don't know enough. They are incredible athletes. They have just superior bodies and all of this stuff. But their lack of understanding of the subtleties of the game really tells on them when it comes to playing it at that level.
And it's also interesting, Oscar, because what you have is you have the professional athlete, but not necessarily the professional basketball player, don't you?
Well, I think in any person, whether you leave early or not, if you don't have a good background of educational background, of socializing with people of your own age and whatnot, you look at all the great athletes who come out of school, and everyone looked at Kevin Garnett, they probably look at Kobe Bryant and McGrady. But look at all the ones that fail. I mean, Kobe went with the Lakers. He was able to play on a team that was a great team until he got learned how to play. McGrady, same way. He seems to be at a point where he's got to get smarter. Is he peaking right now or not? But it takes you a little while to go from that 19, 18-year-old, 20-year-old kid into being a man.
The other thing that I've heard said is that when a player comes out of college, if they have a big reputation, they forget to check their ego and that reputation at the door and realize that they have to prove themselves again at the next level. Is that a fair criticism of the young player?
Yes, it is. And it's a different game.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's a different basketball game. Look at Battier. But maybe because there's some other great players he's playing alongside of, he's got to be able to learn how to get his licks in and with them playing with him. Because right now, you know, you come out of school being number one player in the country, you got to be able to play. I mean, I don't know what the problem is. Sometimes the coaches don't understand what a player can do. They don't understand what type of strength you really have on your team. Because you look at a basketball team or a baseball team, not everyone's going to be the star, going to hit the home run, or make the basket. Some people have to be role players, and you don't see that a lot anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think the other thing, too, Oscar, is that if you take a look at the college player, he can dominate somebody who may be a junior or maybe a sophomore or a lesser talent. But when you get into the NBA, you may be going up against a guy that's already been there for 5 or 6 or 7 years.
You're exactly right. I was telling some young player the other day, when he was at Cincinnati, I said, Kenyon, you're a great player in college. You're going to have to change your game. You're not going to be able to go inside and dunk and block shots at will like you did in college. Learn to hit those little 15, 18-foot jump shots. Get that in-between game. And I don't know if he's got it here or not. I've only seen him play in a one exhibition game, but great athlete, great body. But, you know, it's a mind thing sometimes. You got to get smart on the court. A lot of players are not like that.
Oscar, Al Attles and I were talking about players that make it in the NBA and those that don't, because I asked him about some of the great players that played on the playgrounds that had athletic talent but never made it to the professional level. And he said, you know, he said the greatest asset you can have to be a professional basketball player is that you find a way to be able to fit in. And those type of players not necessarily will fit into a system, fit into the play in the game. And I thought that was an interesting observation.
It really is indeed. Because, you know, there are rules and regulations you have to go by when you play on an organized team. You go on a team, there's certain things, certain plays you have to do. Get into the arena, practice, taking care of yourself, eating right, all these things are part of it. And you get on the court, coach tells you, I want you to run this play. You can't go off by yourself and do something else. You got to balance the court up for defense, transition the ball back and forth. You got to be ready to rebound, ready to help out on defense. Some players never learn these skills. They get the ball, boy, they're going to go and dunk the ball and dunk and dunk. They think they're great on the playground, or in practice, or in college. When you get to the pros, and you hear a lot of people say, oh, the pros don't play. They don't only play in the last 2 minutes. Well, get out there with them sometimes and see.
You made the transition from college basketball, where you were the 3-time college player of the year at Cincinnati, to the NBA. Was pride the most driving force for you at the next level?
Not really. You know, when I came out of college, you know, I was fortunate to be able to play in the summer against a lot of pros, so I got used to them. I think that's a big, big plus to go out there and don't be in awe of anyone. I got on a team with the Cincinnati Royals that was not very good, and I was thrust into a position where I had to perform. I had to do well, you know, because if I hadn't, boy, they'd have rid me out of the NBA.
Is there a professional mentality, and how would that be defined when you came into the league?
Well, I think with me, I can only speak for myself, understanding what you can do and what your teammates can do. Understanding about shots that the defense is going to give you, and take those shots and make those shots. Make the other team, the defense, play the way you want to play, not the way he wants you to play.
Also, you average better than 25 points, better than 7 rebounds, and better than 9 assists. That is an all-around game. Most people would be happy with any one of those statistics. Why were you so successful in so many facets of the game?
Well, I don't really know, because when I first started, no one was really counting. I put in a lot of minutes. and, you know, I'm just helping my team win. I was inside a lot. But what happened with basketball, along came TV every night. There was always television, but every night in all – and everybody wants a star, but you know, stars are not made by people just because they say they're stars. Stars are made by what you do on the court and sometimes off the court. How you conduct yourself off the court is just as important to me.
I agree. Oscar Robertson's story. Tell me a little bit about this, Oscar.
Well, the video is about my high school, coming out of Tennessee, going to a school in Indianapolis, high school, college, pros, and after the pros. it just gives you a good depiction of things that happen to me socially, things that happen to me in school, and with all the ills and all the good and bad. And I think that it took about 3 years for us to do. And it was put into production by a friend of mine named Don Burroughs. And he did an outstanding job. It's a really first-class quality production. And I think it's something everyone should have.
What is it that people are not going to learn about Oscar Robertson that maybe they didn't know before they saw this?
Well, you know, thanks for asking, because I showed this to a lot of my friends. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe I was involved in all the things that's on the film. That, you know, they didn't believe that. They thought I came to the University of Cincinnati and came out of Indianapolis in a ghetto and everything was just hunky-dory. they didn't think there were places I couldn't go when I was in high school, or couldn't go to restaurants, or, you know, just things that happened in America. America changed a lot. They didn't believe the things that happened in college. You know, so all these things that I'm not. A lot of people that don't know me, they don't know Oscar Robertson, because, you know, to be honest, you know, I've been caught using drugs, and, you know, I'm not an alcoholic, and I don't do a lot of other things, because this is what usually gets you a lot of attention.
One of the things that you have been, Oscar, over the years that I've talked to you on this program, is you've always been very direct, you've been honest with answers, and you've been very outspoken. And I would suppose an African-American back when you were growing up, I don't think you probably changed your personality that much.
No, yeah, I have been accused of being outspoken, but what if it's true that the things you're saying? You know, I think a lot of people say a lot of things that aren't true, and that's what I call outspoken. But if you say something that can be checked for its validity, you got to be honest with people, because then they're going to call you a liar.
Well, that's the point that I was making. I'm very comfortable with it, but a lot of people wouldn't have been, particularly back at that particular time when you were growing up as a kid. Did you have to deal with people being uncomfortable with a black man talking as candidly as you did?
Well, you know, here again, you know, I mean, you learn things. You know, last year when I was in Tennessee and Ku Klux Klan was around, I was told what to say and what not to say. But I know that, you know what happens? So, over the years, you go to school, you get a degree, you learn things, you learn how to be tactful in situations. You learn how to express yourself, because, you know, you look around the country today and all the problems young people have because they can't communicate.
And they don't listen.
I go back to the greatest of all with Jackie Robinson, educated man, four-letter man from UCLA, military man, he got court-martialed in the Army, because he only wanted to follow rules that were on the books for everybody. You know, and what always puzzled me is that when things happened to me where I said I couldn't do this, I couldn't go there, you couldn't sleep here, I said, but that's not for me. It's for our team. It's for everybody. Like when I was in the military once in Virginia and I couldn't eat in a restaurant, I said, well, that's fine. I said, I'm not here as an individual. I'm here as a soldier.
Yeah, representing your country.
That's exactly right. But you see, but people during those days, they wanted to interpret the rules and the laws of the land the way they wanted them.
One of the things I'd be interested in, Oscar, is what type of respectability did you get because you were an athlete that they would not have given you if you had just been a man that they had met?
Oh, that's tremendous. I got tremendous respect as an athlete, as a person.
Did that bother you that that's the only reason that they gave it to you?
No, because I knew why they were doing it. I knew they only did it because I was an athlete, because I conduct myself in a professional manner. And I wasn't around to hurt a lot of people. You know, I just went around with my friends, both black and white. So other than that, if you were not a friend of mine, I would not say a whole lot to you at all.
So in other words, there was no pretense about it. You understood the environment and the circumstance of that respect, so therefore you could deal with that.
You had to. Every athlete, every black athlete coming up in America in the 50s and 60s had to understand that, what they could do, what they couldn't do, where they could go, where they could not go.
Oscar, before I let you go, where can people get the Big O, the Oscar Robertson story video biography?
www.bigo.com.
And what are you doing now? Tell everybody.
I'm in business here in Cincinnati. I have a corrugated box company and I own a sanitation chemical company.
Well, I'll tell you, I always love having you on the program because our conversations are so insightful and you're so honest and so blunt. I just love it. Thanks a lot, Oscar. Keep yourself safe and come back and visit with us again.
Thank you, same to you.
Oscar Robertson, Hall of Fame basketball player. And again, that's a video biography, The Big O, the Oscar Robertson story. You ought to check it out because this guy was in a class by himself, just outstanding, averaged a triple-double during the 61-62 season. We'll take a quick break, come back, and continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.